Imagine that you witness a carpenter at a construction site driving nails into a wooden frame with a hammer. Would that seem normal? Of course it would. But what if he was a friend of yours and you cross paths in the grocery store and you try to carry on a friendly conversation with him, but you find it difficult because he is holding his hammer and staring at it and fumbling with it and distracted by it the entire time you're trying to talk with him? Would that seem unusual? Wouldn't you think there was something wrong with that guy? Yet as strange as that fictional scenario sounds, that describes many people today with their smartphones. Is there a problem? Are you concerned? Welcome. You're listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast. MediaTalk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including information about our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. Now, today's an exciting day. We're recording our pilot program for the new MediaTalk 101 podcast, and I want to welcome my podcast co-pilot today, Rhett Simpkins. Rhett is not only one of the stories we featured in the documentary Captivated, he's also on staff at MediaTalk 101 as our office director. I'm glad you can join me today.
I'm glad to be able to help.
Now, one of the things I'm excited about with starting a podcast is that we'll have the opportunity to tackle one subject at a time. Now, usually when I'm speaking at a church or a school or a conference, I find myself trying to tackle so many things regarding media in just a handful of workshops. So this is a massive subject, and as the saying goes, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
So Rhett, why don't you introduce our topic today?
Okay, I know this doesn't apply to the majority of the people we reach out to, but there are some who have accused MediaTalk 101 of being anti-media and anti-technology. So I've got a list of questions for you about that. First off, what is your response to that accusation?
Well, you know, over the years, I've encouraged Christians to grow in their discernment regarding media and technology. And I've often witnessed a knee-jerk reaction to some who think that just by virtue of encouraging discernment, that that's somehow anti-media or anti-technology, which I think it would be kind of hard to think of this ministry as such. After all, we have a website. I've used PowerPoint when I teach, which, you know, with video clips and other things, visuals. I've created a documentary, and we're doing a podcast, among many other things. So, once again, I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's not really established through critical thinking. You see, media and entertainment can have such a hold on people at times that they tend to get defensive if anyone questions or challenges their choices and use of media. And I was like that myself at one time, so I can relate, and I plan on sharing my story in an upcoming podcast.
And here's my next question. What about those who think MediaTalk 101 is being hypocritical for using and promoting media while giving warnings about it?
Well, you know, that would be a reasonable concern if we said we were against the production or consumption of media, which we don't, and that's not who we are. So I'm going to give a couple analogies here in a moment that will hopefully be helpful. But, you know, for those who are listening, I want to just remind you that our motto is teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. It's not throwing out your television. It's not don't go see a movie. It's not don't be on the internet. That's not our motto. It's about discernment. And so we teach discernment and making wise choices, which applies to not only our media consumption, but I believe also when it comes to media production. These are powerful tools of communication. And they can be used for good, or they can be used for bad. And we want to use these for good. And we want to encourage people to be careful about how they use these tools as for media consumption as well as production. So here's an analogy I like to give that will hopefully be helpful to others. If I were to teach about healthy eating habits, and I was to warn people about unhealthy eating habits or the negative effects of eating too much junk food, would that make me anti-food or anti-eating? No, and it's not hypocritical. And it's not hypocritical to teach about problems relating to media consumption in our culture and how that negatively affects individuals, families, churches, and our nation. And let me take that analogy just a little bit further. So once again, wanting to communicate messages of caution. So let's say I was giving a conference on healthy food eating, and it was going to be a banquet. And at this banquet, I was serving McDonald's hamburgers and French fries. That would be hypocritical. Or if I were to travel the country telling people you need to eat healthy, but I personally was eating McDonald's all the time and other unhealthy junk food, and I was feeding my children junk food all the time. Now that's hypocritical. So there's a big difference. Or even worse yet, let's say I was giving a conference teaching about healthy eating habits, and then I was serving food which I knew was tainted with salmonella, and everybody was going to get sick from eating it. That would be evil. So, you know, that we can understand. But simply using media and technology as a tool of communication to help people to understand some of the cautions and how to have wisdom and discernment, that's simply not hypocritical. And I think that's our hope, our goal. And I know that some people have that, once again, a knee-jerk reaction to that, but we just wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. That's a good analogy. Now, you've brought up the terms anti-media and anti-technology. I think it might be helpful to explain what you mean when you use those terms.
Sure. You know, that's a really a good point. And let's start with technology. You know, in the broader scope, the Pilot G2 pens that I like to use when writing are a relatively new technology. And I don't write with a quill. I don't think I ever have. I think my children have done it. We homeschool our children. They're always trying a bunch of different things. And one of those, you know, was they wanted to write with feather pens, so they made their own quill pens. But I don't really have any desire to do that. And I don't have any interest in warning people against the use of gel pens or heralding the purity of writing with feathers. So when we're talking about technology, and when people use that term in today's vernacular, it's often in the context of a much narrower definition, which we would call consumer electronics, as opposed to the stricter sense of the word. And for the discussion in this podcast and in our ministry, it narrows down even more as we focus on the use of common electronic devices for communication, or for education, or for content creation, and certainly the big one today is entertainment. So we're not concerned with talking about electric razors or cordless drills.
Okay, so you're addressing smartphones, laptops, gaming consoles, and things like that, even though you know there's a broader definition of technology.
Exactly.
But what about media?
Okay, we're called Media Talk 101, and so we're going to go to some basics here. And this may be overly simple for some people, but I think it's good just to kind of cover the basics. When we're talking about media, that's simply any content delivered through a medium. So I'll give you some examples. One would be a television. That's considered a medium. It's a device. But the TV program is considered media. Another example would be an MP3 player. That's a medium. But the songs, the podcasts, the videos are all media. A radio, that's a medium. But the programs and the music are media. And here's a non-electronic example would be paper and ink. Those are mediums, but the content of a book or a magazine would actually be considered media. And of course, at the height of this in our day and age are the multimedia devices like a laptop or an iPad or a smartphone that do multiple things. It's one device that has multiple platforms for different kinds of media. So as a ministry, you know, I believe there's a growing need for discernment, and we have to look at both the benefits and the pitfalls of media and the mediums or these devices.
And you're certainly not the only person concerned about this issue, but who are some others with similar concerns?
Well, you know, in our modern times, you know, we can go back to the 1950s and 60s with a man that some may be familiar with, Marshall McLuhan. he was the one who coined this phrase, the medium is the message, and he was actually concerned more with the mediums than he was the media. But when we get into the 80s, there was a prominent person, Neil Postman, who was a prominent voice on this subject through his books like Amusing Ourselves to Death and Technopoly. And let me say this, if you have not read Amusing Ourselves to Death, you need to go out and get a copy. Check it out of the library, get on Amazon, buy a copy. If we sold copies, I'd tell you to go to our website and buy a copy, but we don't sell copies. But I think you should have a copy in your own library. Certainly something you should read. Put on your priority reading list if you haven't. The book, I think, was published for the first time in, I believe it was 1984, and yet it's timeless. When you read it, you just think, wow, this is such an important book. But getting back to Mr. Postman, he once wrote the following. It is a mistake to suppose that any technological innovation has a one-sided effect. Every technology is both a burden and a blessing, not either or, but this and that. And I know this quote's a little bit long, but he goes on to say, we're currently surrounded by throngs of one-eyed prophets who see only what new technologies can do and incapable of imagining what they will undo. They gaze on technology as a love does on his beloved, seeing it without blemish and entertaining no apprehension for the future. And so that's, once again, Neil Postman from his book Technopoly. And I think that's what we're facing today. We have to realize that when it comes to the mediums and the media, there's both good and bad. It's not a one-sided thing. But unfortunately, it seems like most of what Neil Postman called the one-eyed prophets, you find them everywhere. They're over-enthusiastic about all the great things that we can have. And there are some great things. There are some wonderful things with media and technology today. But there's a need for caution. And Neil Postman was certainly one of those people who said, let's step back for a moment and look at also not just the benefits, but also some of those pitfalls. And, you know, today there are so many prominent voices on the subject, many of whom we interviewed in the documentary Captivated.
So would it be correct to say that you agree with Neil Postman that there tends to be an imbalance for over-enthusiasm and a lack of caution?
Yes, very much so. And you know, take for instance the smartphone. Now, full disclosure here, I have a smartphone. I've actually owned multiple smartphones over several years. Currently, I have the iPhone 4S, and it's a powerful tool. And if you think about everything you have access to in the palm of your hand, it's a phone, it's a TV, it's a computer, it's the internet, you have a video player, a game device, a word processor, a weather station, a flashlight, you know, so much more. I mean, I have an instrument tuning app on mine because we got a lot of instruments around the house. So I find myself, in fact, even today I was tuning my son's mandolin, but it's not uncommon to see me tuning a guitar or a violin or the ukuleles in our house. And I also have an app that behaves like a bubble level when doing projects around the house. So it's amazing. There's so many things. But could you imagine what that would have looked like 25 years ago to have all of this with you at all times? You'd be hauling around a cart full of devices and you'd need a generator to power them all. But I forgot, 25 years ago, Rhett, how old are you today?
27.
So you're 27. So 25, you'd have still been in diapers. And so you don't remember that. But so, you know, Rhett would be considered what they call a digital native. So you've always grown up with this stuff. You don't know anything different. I'm what they call a digital immigrant. You know, these changes have happened over my lifetime. And so I've had to kind of, you know, migrate into this digital world. And I can actually remember the days before cell phones. I remember even running a business in Chicago for a while using a pager. That was the latest, greatest technology, the pager. And I thought, man, you could even find payphones back then. But so certainly things have changed a lot. And you know, once again, those are many benefits, but there are also burdens that go along with some of those blessings.
Okay, so what about the spiritual side of this? Media Talk 101, you know, is dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. So what does this have to do with the Christian life?
Well, yes, I got a couple verses in mind. One of them is our theme verse, which actually comes from Hebrews, where it says, Let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's from Hebrews chapter 12, and that's a paraphrase there. But that's a racing analogy that's given of the Christian life. And so when we think about the Christian life and that it's like a race, and as you step up to the line, every race has a starting point and it has an end point. And in this case, the finish line is Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ who's gone before us, and we are to fix our eyes on him and run that race. But we're also told that we should lay aside any weight or sin. Now, these would things that would be unwise when running a race, and they would also be things that could disqualify you. You know, so in fact, I once saw an analogy of this at a camp, which was great. I loved it. It was the speaker took two young men and got them to volunteer to have a race around the gymnasium. And so they got up all excited to race each other, but before he gave them the starting indicated that this was the start of the race, he actually stopped and said, wait a minute, and he took a backpack and he put it on one of them, and he loaded up the backpack with a bunch of lifting weights, and then he took some duct tape and he wrapped it around his legs, and so then he says, now you guys get to race. And of course, one was terribly disadvantaged. And as he hobbled around the room, and it took him so long. And then they did the race again. They took the backpack off of him and took the duct tape off and let them race one more time. And then it was more even. But that's what that verse is talking about. You know, there are things that can weigh us down. There are things that can keep us from running this race the way God called us to run. So certainly that's something I think as we look at both the blessing and the burdens, if there are ways to use these digital tools in a way that's a blessing to keeping our eyes fixed on Christ, then amen. Let's use those. But if we recognize that there are things that are distracting us from our focus on God and also our focus on one another. For example, we're told in another verse that how can we say we love God if we hate our brother? Mm-hmm. You know, because we see our brother, but we don't see God. We serve him by faith. So an example of that is if we are disconnected in our families, you know, if parents are disconnected from children, or children are disconnected from their parents because of technology, and we say, well, we love them, then how can we say we really love them? And we can say we love God when we're not manifesting the importance of presence, and we're letting these things become a wedge in many families today. So one more verse that I think is helpful on this would be Proverbs 25, verse 28. And this one says, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Now, the walls of ancient cities were their first line of defense against attack. And this proverb tells us that a man who has no control over his spirit is like that. He's defenseless and easily broken into. And there's something external to that man that's ruling his spirit. And I believe that today's media and technology can apply to this verse. There are too many people letting their devices run their lives and their families, and they've become vulnerable because of it. They're like that city without walls. They're letting something external to them control their lives.
Can you give any examples of that?
Oh, I can give so many examples, but one that really stands out to me was I was speaking at a group, a youth group in the state of Oregon, and afterward there was at least one parent that was present, and this dad came up to me and spoke with me and said, "Hey, Philip, you know, thank you for what you just shared. That was really encouraging. It was very helpful to the teens." But he said, "You need to get this message to parents. In fact, you need to get it to dads." And then he went on to tell me about a men's spiritual retreat that he had just attended that his church was involved with. He said 8 guys brought their Xboxes with them in order to play video games during their free time. And I was just shocked. I couldn't believe it. Now, one thing that I didn't mention was that was over 6 years ago. And in this quickly changing digital landscape, that's like calculating dog years in comparison for how much things have changed. I believe things are a lot worse today.
Yeah, and I remember you telling that story before, and it's still shocking to me.
So, you know, I think we're losing the blessing, you know, of personal presence, of focused attention on others. I think we're losing sight of the Lord many times as we become distracted by a lot of these, a lot of the mediums and the media. And I think, you know, one of the examples I gave, you know, families can be living under the same roof and connected digitally to so many things, but disconnected from one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one last question before we wrap it up. For people who are beginning to rethink their media and technology habits, what are some helpful action steps for them to consider?
Sure. Well, you know, once again, we're not going to try to tackle everything all at once. And so just as much as we are kind of focusing on one subject at a time, I think the same thing with action steps. I can give you a whole bunch of action steps, but we're going to give those progressively over the course of several episodes of this podcast. So I'm going to focus on just one or two things right now. So this week, I want to encourage you to make an intentional effort to take inventory of your media consumption and your use of technology this week. Some people who have done this actually write it down. You know, they make a log. So whether you do that or not, that's up to you. But at least be intentional about just being aware. You know, how much are you consuming? Sometimes we're so habitual about these things, we don't think about it. And while you're doing that, consider the benefits as well as the burdens or the stumbling blocks. And don't ever forget to ask the Lord for wisdom. Too often we don't pray about these things. And so make that a point in your prayer this week. Say, God, would you please give me wisdom about my media choices? And, you know, in closing here, let me just recap a couple things. First of all, you know, Media Talk 101 is not anti-media. We're not anti-technology. We're pro-discernment. We're pro-wisdom. We're pro-making wise choices, using the tools wisely. And as we mentioned earlier, it's not hypocritical to use various mediums as tools of communication as long as we're applying the same principles that we teach. So if we were producing anything in our ministry that was profane or obscene or vulgar or anti-God or anti-family or anti-Christianity, and I could list a lot of things because a lot of the media being produced today is exactly that. And those are the things that I'm concerned about. If we were producing that kind of stuff, then yes, we'd be guilty as charged. But we don't. You know, we're hoping that the things that we produce are edifying, that help build the family, that honor Jesus Christ, and that together we can grow in more wisdom and discernment. So you've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Want to encourage you to visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. Click on the audio tab to get a free download of my audiobook, What Wouldn't Jesus Do? Media Choices in the Light of Following Christ. If you haven't seen our award-winning documentary, Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media of Captive Culture, be sure to order a copy today. Parents Television Council calls it deft and powerful. And numerous moms, dads, and pastors say it's a must-watch for every Christian family and church. If you have a question or a topic you would like to have discussed on this program, please send an email to podcast@mediatalk101.org. And join us next time as we talk about the common response about media, but it doesn't affect me.